Chapter 6, Prayer and Importunity. Our Lord Jesus declared that men ought always to pray and not to faint, and the parable in which his words occur was taught with the intention of saving man from faint-heartedness and weakness in prayer. Our Lord was seeking to teach that laxity must be guarded against, and persistence fostered and encouraged. There can be no two opinions regarding the importance of the exercise of this indispensable quality in our praying. Importunate prayer is a mighty movement of the soul toward God. It is a stirring of the deepest forces of the soul toward the throne of heavenly grace. It is the ability to hold on, press on, and wait. Restless desire, restful patience, and strength of grasp are all embraced in it. It is not an incident or a performance, but a passion of soul. It is not a want, half needed, but a sheer necessity. The wrestling quality in importunate prayers does not spring from physical vehemence or fleshly energy. It is not an impulse of energy, not a mere earnestness of soul, it is an inwrought force, a faculty implanted and aroused by the Holy Spirit. Virtually, it is the intercession of the Spirit of God in us. It is, moreover, the effectual, fervent prayer, which availeth much. The Divine Spirit informing every element within us, with the energy of His own striving, is the essence of the importunity, which urges our praying at the mercy seat to continue until the fire falls and the blessing descends. This wrestling in prayer may not be boisterous nor vehement, but quiet, tenacious and urgent. Silent, it may be, when there are no visible outlets for its mighty forces. Nothing distinguishes the children of God so clearly and strongly as prayer. It is the one infallible mark and test of being a Christian. Christian people are prayerful, the worldly minded, prayerless. Christians call on God, worldlings ignore God, and call not on His name. But even the Christian had need to cultivate continual prayer. Prayer must be habitual, but much more than a habit. It is duty, yet one which rises far above, and goes beyond the ordinary implications of the term. It is the expression of a relation to God, a yearning for divine communion. It is the outward and upward flow of the inward life toward its original fountain. It is an assertion of the soul's paternity, a claiming of the sonship, which links man to the eternal. Prayer has everything to do with molding the soul into the image of God, and has everything to do with enhancing and enlarging the measure of divine grace. It has everything to do with bringing the soul into complete communion with God. It has everything to do with enriching, broadening and maturing the soul's experience of God. That man cannot possibly be called a Christian who does not pray. By no possible pretext can he claim any right to the term, nor its implied significance. If he do not pray, he is a sinner, pure and simple, for prayer is the only way in which the soul of man can enter into fellowship and communion with the source of all Christ-like spirit and energy. Hence, if he pray not, he is not of the household of faith. In this study, however, we turn our thought to one phase of prayer, that of importunity, the pressing of our desires upon God with urgency and perseverance, the praying with the tenacity and tension, which neither relaxes nor ceases until its plea is heard, and its cause is won. He who has clear views of God, and scriptural conceptions of the divine character, who appreciates his privilege of approach unto God, who understands his inward need of all that God has for him, that man will be solicitous, outspoken and importunate. In Holy Writ, the duty of prayer, itself, is advocated in terms which are only barely stronger than those in which the necessity for its importunity is set forth. The praying which influences God is declared to be that of the fervent, effectual outpouring of a righteous man. That is to say, it is prayer on fire, having no feeble, flickering flame, no momentary flash, but shining with a vigorous and steady glow. The repeated intercessions of Abraham for the salvation of Sodom and Gomorrah present an early example of the necessity for, and benefit deriving from importunate praying. Jacob, wrestling all night with the angel, gives significant emphasis to the power of a dogged perseverance in praying, and shows how, in things spiritual, importunity succeeds, just as effectively as it does in matters relating to time and sense. As we have noted elsewhere, Moses prayed 40 days and 40 nights, seeking to stay the wrath of God against Israel, and his example and success are a stimulus to present-day faith in its darkest hour. Elijah repeated and urged his prayer seven times ere the rain cloud appeared above the horizon, heralding the success of his prayer and the victory of his faith. On one occasion Daniel, though faint and weak, pressed his case 3 weeks, ere the answer and the blessing came.